in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse number 10. Comes from the life of Hezekiah. Listen to these words. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered. Verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Amen. Well, that's not there. But that was the end of his prayer. Notice this next verse. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, That which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. The Lord would help me for the next few minutes. I'd like to try to preach on don't fret the threat. Don't fret the threat. Our text, as I said a moment ago, comes from the life of Hezekiah. He was the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. He was one of the good kings that ruled over God's people. In fact, we read in 2 Kings 18:3 that the Bible declares, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. In fact, when you do a study of the life of Hezekiah, some say that he was one of the greatest kings that ever ruled over Judah. One of the things that made him so great was his trust and his reliance upon the Lord. Amen. There were several things that Hezekiah accomplished during his reign as king. First of all, he repaired and cleansed the house of the Lord. He restored the priests and the Levites to their ministry. He reinstated the Passover feast. He removed all the high places and idolatrous altars, and he rebelled against the Assyrian dominance. This brings us to our text tonight. I read to you where Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was coming to take care of Hezekiah and God's people. You see, upon Hezekiah's rise to the throne, Judah had been paying tribute to Assyria. But Hezekiah, when he became the king, felt like that was not the plan of God and rebelled against Assyria. And so now Sennacherib is coming to settle the score with God's people. He's coming to take care of this rebellion. It's really a lesson for us tonight. But we must realize at any time that a people takes steps toward doing what's right and having revival, you can write it down, the devil is going to fight against that people every step of the way. Amen. Oh yes. Any time in your life when you make steps toward doing what God would have you to do, the devil is not going to sit idly by and let you have revival. He's going to put every roadblock, every hindrance, every obstacle that he can to try to keep you from doing what God would have you to do. It's especially true in that of a backslider who turns toward God. All the battles that a backslider must go through and on his way back toward God. But friend, I want to tell you, it's worth every battle. I said it's worth every struggle, amen, to do what God would have you to do. The first thing that I want you to notice about this situation is the king's defiance. Notice this. This evil king, he questions God's ability to protect his people. He has brought this threat against God's people, and he questions God's ability to protect them. Notice in 18 and 30, "Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria." Verse 32, "Hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?" The threat that stands before God's people is very real. Amen. It is a real threat. For no kingdom had stood in front of Assyria. Every place that this king had chosen to go and conquer, he had conquered. There had not been one people, not one kingdom, that had made an effective defense against Sennacherib and his mighty armies. He had conquered every land that he had set out to. And now his armies are facing Jerusalem. Now they're coming toward God's people. Amen. And he underestimates the power of Hezekiah's God to protect his people. Do you realize tonight that the devil is always trying to threaten us? Oh yes, he does. Every chance he gets, he tries to come against God's people. Amen. Listen to me tonight, young people. The devil is there always threatening you. He comes with many threats against God's people. There's one threat that I see in the Old Testament, and that is the threat of fighting. He's always coming against us, threatening us with fighting. It's illustrated in the story of David and Goliath. Amen. How many remembers that story? Amen. Goliath stepped out on the battlefield every day threatening God's people. Amen. They listened to him for a while. Amen. They heard what he had to say, but that fear worked on them, and that threat worked on them so that it got to the place where he didn't even have to say anything. When they saw him, the Bible says, they would run to their tents, amen, and hide from Goliath. What a threat he was. I said, what a threat of fighting Goliath was. But there was one young man in the camp of Israel, amen, that did not fret over the threat. Amen. He realized that God was great enough, amen, to take care of a lion and a bear, and Goliath wasn't any different than them. Amen. And he realized, felt like that God would give him victory over Goliath. Hear me tonight, my friends. Amen. If you listen to the devil long enough, he'll have you convinced that there's no use to fight against the powers of hell, that you'll fall a prey to it every time. But listen to me. You don't have to fret over the threat of fighting tonight. I know the devil seems strong. He is strong. He is powerful. And if you try to take him on by yourself, you'll fall miserably every time. But remember David's, amen, on the battlefield that day, what he said. Amen. You come with spear and the sword, but I come in the name of the Lord. Hear me tonight. I know there's Goliath to stand up in front of us, but we don't have to fret the threat that stands in front of us. Not only the threat of fighting, but I also see the threat of failure. Well, has the devil ever threatened you with failure? Help me, Holy Ghost, tonight. Nehemiah illustrates this to us. Amen. Nehemiah's enemies threatened him with failure. You remember Sanballat and Tobiah when they heard that Nehemiah was building again the walls around Jerusalem? They were upset. And they sent messengers, amen, and they brought questions, amen, questions that would weaken the faith of God's people. What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves Will they sacrifice? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Amen. Notice this. They even go on to say, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. What a threat. I said, what a threat was brought against Nehemiah. Go ahead, Nehemiah. Try to build this wall. Even if you get it up, amen, if a fox leans against it, it's going to fall down. Hallelujah. That sounds like a threat of failure. I want to preach to us tonight. Amen. The devil will come to you and tell you, what's the use in trying? Amen. Why even try to serve God? Why try to live a holy life? Why try to live a sanctified life? Amen. Why put forth the effort? Amen. Somebody here tonight, amen, thinking about doing something for the Lord. Amen. If you listen to the devil, he'll threaten you with failure so, amen, that you don't even want to try. He'll tell you you can't make it. There's no use in trying. Amen. It's going to end in failure. Amen. You're not going to make it. But then I want to tell you something. Let the devil talk. Oh, he wants to talk. It's just a threat. Hallelujah. I said, it's just a threat. You don't have to listen to everything the devil has to say. The threat of fighting, the threat of failure, and the threat of fire. That's illustrated in the life of the three Hebrew boys. Look at their situation. Three boys taken away from home. Mom and dad's gone. The preacher's not there. And they're in a strange land. And Nebuchadnezzar builds this golden image and tells them at the sound of the music, everybody's going to bow and worship the golden image. If you don't bow, you're going to burn in the fiery furnace. The threat is very real. Amen. They see the golden image and they see the fiery furnace. Amen. What are we going to do with this threat? Amen. Notice the attitude those three young men had. Amen. They were not fretting over what the devil, the enemy, was trying to do to them. Amen. Notice what it says. Amen. Oh, God, help me tonight. Amen. It said there, O King, amen, we are not careful to answer thee on this matter. Amen. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, amen, let it be known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. Hear me, my friend. Anytime you stand for what's right, and you say, I'm going to do what's right, the devil's going to put an obstacle in your way and threaten you with fire and say, go ahead and stand for what's right. But if you do, here's the consequences of it. Amen. Have you ever felt that pressure before? Have you ever felt that threat before? I have myself. Amen. Go ahead and take that stand, preacher. Look what's going to happen when you do. Amen. If you stand for that, amen, they're not going to like you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to persecute you. Amen. Oh, I've heard it before. But then I want to tell you something. Amen. These three boys were not fretting over how the devil was threatening. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Amen. Even though they went into the fire, I said they had to go into the fire. But even in the fire, we find out they got to be there. Hallelujah. Amen. They went in, not fretting what was about to happen. And when they found themselves in the middle of the fire, what did they see? Amen. The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, did not we cast three men down into the fire? Oh, behold, I see four men, amen, loose and walking around, and the fourth is lying under the Son of God. Hallelujah. You may go into the fire. I said, you may go into the fire for standing what you believe in, and standing for what's right, and standing for holiness. But friend, even in the fire, God will come to you. Hallelujah. I said, even in the fire, amen, God will come to you. You don't have to threat, if I get it right. Amen. Are you feeling threatened tonight? I said, are you feeling threatened by what's going on around you? Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. I've been there, my friend. I said, I have been there. That threat. Amen. And the devil will make it seem so real and so true. He did in Hezekiah's situation. It seemed so real. He had the proof. He knew what had gone on all around him. And now he set his sights on Hezekiah. He saw the work of the enemy all around him. And now he's looking at that great question. Amen. Are you going to be any different than anybody else? Others have tried and failed. Others have tried to withstand and they weren't able to. And here you are, Hezekiah, in this little kingdom, in this little city of Jerusalem, and this great army, the most powerful army in the world at that time, is coming to conquer you. Amen. You're not going to make it. I want you to notice what Hezekiah did. Yes, the king was defiant, but I want you to notice Hezekiah's dependence. Amen. Notice the reaction that he had. Amen. When Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord. I want to ask you tonight, what is your reaction when you feel the threat of the enemy? I said, what's your reaction tonight when you feel the threat of the devil against your soul and against your experience? What is going through your mind? Amen. When you realize the devil is breathing down your neck, amen, what do you do? What is your reaction? I like what Hezekiah did. He went to the house of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Seems like to me Hezekiah has already learned the secret of getting into the presence of the Lord. What better place to go? I said, what better place to go whenever you get in trouble than to the house of God? I said, what better place to go, amen, when you feel like your whole world is caving in around you, than to go to the house of the Lord and get into the presence of God? You remember Isaiah, don't you? Isaiah, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Oh, I realized that He was marking a date on the calendar. But more than that, I believe He is letting us know the situation that surrounds His life. In the year King Uzziah died, Uzziah had been a good king. But in a moment of foolish pride, amen, God strikes him with leprosy. He dies a leper outside the camp. Can you imagine the chaos there must have been in Israel? Can you imagine the confusion there must have been in the hearts of God's people? And Isaiah says, in the midst of all of this, in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of our confusion, I saw the Lord. Hallelujah. Can I tell somebody tonight, I feel like there's somebody here, amen, that's received a threat from the enemy in their life this very week. And friend, you may come to here tonight wondering what's the use. I'm going to die like this. This is going to be more than I can take. I don't think I can handle this. I want to tell somebody tonight, amen, it's only a threat. Hallelujah. I said, it's only a threat. Amen. Why don't you get in God's presence? I said, why don't you get in the presence of the Lord tonight and see what God will do for you in the midst of your crisis? Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. He went to church. Amen. Yes, there will be times when we face situations that will be troubling. We will receive the threat of the enemy. But you don't have to sit around the house fretting over what the devil said he's going to do. I've never understood people. I don't want to sound... Oh, help me, Lord. I don't want to sound demeaning here, but I've never understood people that whenever the crisis set in, I never understood why they thought staying at home would do them any good. I've heard them say before, preacher, I'd have been there Tuesday night, but I'll tell you, I was feeling so bad. I wouldn't have been no use to the church whatsoever. I wouldn't have done that service any good if I'd have come. I was so depressed, so down. I wouldn't have been a big help at all. That's like shooting yourself in the foot and saying, well, I won't be much use to them down at the emergency room. I think I'll just stay right here. That sounds pretty silly, doesn't it? Why in the world do you think staying home and staying out of the presence of God is going to do you any good? All right. Oh, come on now. Hey, man, it's awful quiet again tonight. Hey, man, I want to know something. Why do you think staying at the house is going to do you a bit of good? I know what some folks do. People calling up to have a TV. Lost enough to have a TV, they'll stay at home and see if Rod Parson has something to say for them in their situation. Oh, come on now. Amen. I'll tell you what that's going to accomplish. All that's going to accomplish is wasting 2 good hours of your life and filling your mind with a bunch of nonsense, and all it does is breed confusion and contempt toward the truth of God's Word. Well, hallelujah. Smile at me tonight, would you? Amen. So I don't think you're... Amen. You're threatening me. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you something. Amen. I realize that there are troubles and trials that come. Listen, if anybody was in trouble, Hezekiah was. He's a card-carrying member of the trouble and trial club. He had the letter in his hand. I said he had the letter in his hand. The evidence is right there. Look what the king of Assyria is fixing to do to the people. He knew his armies. He knew the people he had fighting for him. And he knew how big their armies were, and he realized the odds were against him. Amen. If God didn't come to him and help him, there was no way out. But he went to the house of God, and he got in the presence of the Lord. Amen. But he did not come empty-handed. He brought the letter. Amen. The king had sent him. And what does the Bible say? He spread it out before the Lord. I want to tell you, my friend, you come tonight with the threat of the enemy in your soul. The devil been talking to you. You receive bad news, and the letter's in your hand. It's not going to do you a bit of good to come to church and keep the letter to yourself. I've watched individuals come in bearing great needs and great burdens, and I knew they were in the trial of their life. But when they come to the house of God and the presence of God filled the house, they did not do anything. I said they did not do anything. They never opened up their heart to the Lord. They never presented their petition before the Lord. Amen. They kept it to themselves. I want a priest to ask tonight, if you're under the threat of the enemy, amen, the key to not fretting over it is getting in God's presence and spreading it out before the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. I can't handle this. It's too big for me. Amen. It's more powerful than I am. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not... Amen. I don't have the ability to handle this. If we get victory over it, it's going to be because God brings it. If God doesn't come to us, we're going under. But then I want to tell you something. Amen. God will not let you go under. Amen. When He has told us that we can be more than conquerors. When He has told us, amen, that He's on our Lord, I am with you. Amen. Always. Even to the end of the world. Man, I know the devil's threatening. I said, I know the devil's threatening. But get in His presence tonight. I said, get in His presence and see what God will do for you. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. He brought the letter. Spread it out. Amen. But that's not the only thing He did. And Hezekiah prayed. Here's the key. I said, here's the key to not fretting over the threat. Amen. Listen to me. If we prayed about our trouble as much as we complained about our trouble, and as much as we talked about our trouble, we probably wouldn't have so much trouble. It's a whole lot easier to raise a hand in prayer request time and say, preacher, I mean tonight, I'm not being critical. Please don't misunderstand me. Amen. I'm thankful that we can come to church and we can make prayer requests and let the church know about our struggles. But a lot of the times, prayer request is nothing more than news time. Amen. To fill in the church on what's going on in our lives. Amen. And everything the devil's trying to do. Amen. Oh, come on now. I said, come on now. Amen. Oh, it was like one lady years ago went to her pastor. Amen. Had a lost son. And she come crying to her pastor. Oh, pastor, would you please fast and pray this week for my boy? He needs to be saved. And so that pastor, being a good pastor, he said, I'll do it, sister. Amen. And he fasted and prayed that week for her lost son. Amen. He come back to church the next Sunday and said, now, I've been fasting and praying for him. Amen. Have you been fasting and praying for him? Amen. She said, oh no, pastor. Amen. That's why I asked you to. I didn't have time to.
on, son. That don't add up to me. Amen. I said, that don't add up to me. Amen. Why? Amen. Do we have so much troubles and trials in our life? Many times it's because we have lost the art of praying through among the people. Amen. Hear me, my friend. It's a lot easier to worry over it. It's a lot easier to fret over it than it is to pray over it. Amen. And pray through it. Amen. Oh, hear me. Amen. I said, hear me tonight. Amen. If you're going to get victory, you're not going to get it by sitting around the house worrying all night over it. You're not going to get victory, amen, by calling somebody else, amen, and seeking sympathy someplace else. Amen. I'll tell you where you're going to get the help you need at, and it's right in the presence of God, praying through. I said, praying through. God, give us some people in this hour that won't sit around and worry about it, but they'll pray about it. I said, they'll pray about it. What does Sister Deidre Howard need up there in Batesville, Arkansas? She needs somebody that won't sit around and bite their fingernails over it. Amen. But somebody that'll pray about it. Amen. Pray through until we ring the prayer bell in heaven and victory comes. I said, until victory comes. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When you fret about the threat, the devil magnifies it until that's all you can see. Amen. I've done that myself. Sit around and worry until all you can see is the trial and the trouble, and it doesn't look like there's any way out. Oh, the devil is the master of turning molehills into mountains. I said the devil is the master of turning molehills into mountains. Amen. You listen to him talk long enough, it's going to get so big, and he's going to be so powerful that you might as well just throw your hands up and quit the house of God altogether. Those are never going to... Oh, that's such a lie! I said, that's such a lie! Amen. Oh, hear me, my friend. No wonder the psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Magnify Jesus. I said, build him up. Amen. Until he's all you can see. I said, magnify him. Amen. Pray to him. Amen. Counsel with him until he's the only thing you can see. And you'll forget about your trouble. You'll forget about oh yeah, they may still be there. I said they may still be there. Amen. Just ask Paul. Amen. He was in the rock of God. Amen. And Luke writes down and says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But where is the man of God? He's down in the ship somewhere and he's praying. Hallelujah. I said he's praying. How do I know he was praying? Because we haven't heard from him in a while. He's not up there. Amen. Sitting around with the crew. Amen. Worrying about what's going on. Amen. Observing the winds. Amen. Feeling the rain. But he's down in the hull of the ship. Amen. By himself. And all of a sudden, after a long absence. Amen. The Bible says Paul stood up among them and said, sirs, amen, you should have hearkened to me and my roots. But all that stood by me this night, an angel of the Lord. Amen. And what did he bring? He brought a message of victory. I said the messenger came with victory. When somebody prayed it through, hear the preacher tonight, that's what's going to bring revival. That's what's going to bring them to the God. That's going to bring victory to the sinner. Amen. That's when we get prayed through. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing. Now, that does not mean to be careless. I have met a few people that was careful for nothing. They took no care of anything. I remember when I was in Bible school, I was on the work-study program. And basically all that was you did everything around the school that needed to be done. And amen, they kept track of your time and it went towards your school bill. And I remember me and my friend, we were responsible for doing all the fixing of things. And we broke as many things as we fixed. And Brother Terry Miles, the one that was over the work-study program, he came to me this one day and said, boys, you got to be more careful than that. We just wasn't being careful. Amen, we just careless. He said, you're going to have to be more careful than that. Well, we had this plan, you see. We were the worst day. We were responsible for fixing everything. So we felt like as long as we were breaking things, we had job security. Hallelujah. But he didn't like that idea. Amen. Have you met those people that they were careful for nothing? Amen. Like a bull in a china shop? Yeah, I've met people like that. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is talking about here to the Philippians. New Testament word pictures, amen, he said that could have been translated, stop being anxious. In Dennis Heath terminology, quit worrying about it. I understand that there are people who are worrywarts. I want to tell you something. A child of God that is trusting God has put their whole confidence in God should not be a worrywart. Whew, hallelujah. Amen. What good has worrying done anyway? What does it accomplish sitting around worrying about it? It does accomplish a few things. High blood pressure, ulcers, heart attack. Oh yeah, it does accomplish a few things. But it does not accomplish what it ought to accomplish. There's no... Oh God, help me. Quit worrying about it. But that's not all that he said there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now I understand the prayer and supplication part, but it gets a little tough when it gets to that with thanksgiving part. Preacher, my life is turned upside down. And you want me to be thankful in this? Remember what it said to Thessalonians? In everything, give thanks. Now, that doesn't mean we sit around and say, thank you, Lord, that I got cancer. He didn't say, for everything, give thanks. He said, in everything. Amen. You may be in the crisis of your life. Your world may be turned upside down. But there's still something you can be thankful for. And that's the fact that God's on the throne and He is sovereign. I said, God is sovereign. And there's nothing that touches our life which is not forsaken through the hands of God. Then I want to tell you something. We need to get back to praying. I said, we've got to get back to praying. Preacher, are you preaching something right here that you've mastered? Not by any stretch of the imagination. Amen. I've read accounts about men that were such prayers. I believe it was David Livingston, Brother Stadler, may correct me if I'm wrong here, but it was David Livingston who had given his life for Africa, wasn't he? Amen. He had given his life for Africa, and he come down until he had a crippling disease. And he was unable to walk, unable to carry himself on his own legs and had to be carried about everywhere he went. But he still had such a burning zeal in him to be a prayer warrior and such a burden for his people that he had given his life to, that they had a guard that stood by him around the clock, a caretaker, amen, around the clock to make sure that Livingston was all right. Amen. But one night, amen, his caretaker fell asleep and Livingston, unable to move out of a bed on his own power, amen, crippled in a bed. They said when they woke up, amen, that guardian woke up. He looked over at the bed where Livingston should have been at, but he was not there. Somehow, he had crawled out of that bed, amen, knelt down beside that cot, and had gone to glory, amen, praying there beside his bed. Then I want to tell you something. If we get a toothache, amen, we quit praying. I said, we get a toothache, we quit praying. God help us. I said, God help us tonight to realize, amen, the threat is real. I said, the threat is real. If you've not noticed, amen, the attack of the enemy of God against God's people, it's time to wake up and realize there is an onslaught against God's people in this hour. Amen. And if we're going to have victory, we're going to have to pray it through. I know this ain't sound preaching, but it ought to be. I said it ought to be. The reason why we can't shout to preach on prayer anymore is because too many of us are guilty. I said too many of us are guilty. Amen. I told Brother Seth about this earlier today. I was somewhere. Amen. Preaching and praying. Seeking the Lord one day in a church. Amen. We got to church that night. And somebody got up and sung Prayer Bells of Heaven. Oh, how sweetly they ring. And it came to me. I felt the impression of the Lord on my heart as they were singing. Amen. And it said this. Amen. How you'll know the wholeness people are having revival whenever we can shout to this kind of singing. Amen. When prayer bells of heaven, oh how sweetly they ring, brings us up out of the pew on our feet, sound happy in the aisles. You'll know we're having revival. But the fact of the matter is, amen, we put sweet hour prayer on the shelf and we're satisfied with just a little talk with Jesus. I'm not being critical of those songs, but what I'm telling you is, that's our philosophy. I said, that's our philosophy. In this hour, listen to me, I don't want you to raise your hand, but when's the last time, amen, you stayed in a prayer room for more than 15 or 20 minutes? When's the last time you stayed on your knees for an hour? I said, when's the last time you prayed through and stayed there for an hour or more? Then I want to tell you something. Even if there's anything that's sucking the victory right out of the homeless people, it is our prayer lives.
Hezekiah prayed. I said, Hezekiah prayed. Why is this so important, preacher? Amen. It's especially important for the young people. Oh, I love you, young people. I feel like some of the greatest young people, amen, in our movement is right here in this church. And I don't say that, amen, just nonchalantly. I mean that with all of my heart. Amen. Some of the most talented, amen. Amen. So I'm just telling you, amen, young people are right here in this church. I love you with all my heart. And friend, if there's anything you need to develop, I appreciate your musical abilities and talent. It's wonderful. I love to hear you sing and play music. That's glorious. But I want to tell you something. Amen. If you can learn how to pray, if you was as efficient and effective in your praying as you are in your playing, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, what kind of revival. I said, oh, what kind of revival we'll have in this hour. God, give us a burden. I said, God, give us a burden to be a prayer warrior. God, give us a burden to realize praying is our moves the hand of God.
Hezekiah prayed. Here's why it's so important. In verse number 19, he closes his prayer. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save us out of thy hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou. I need to hurry. Amen. Oh, it's only 6:20. Hallelujah. Amen. But oh, he closes his prayer. Amen. Right there in verse number 19. But in verse number 20, amen, without delay, what does the Bible say? Then Isaiah, amen, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. That's right there. I said, that right there is what we need to hear. Hallelujah. I said, that right there is what we've got to hear. Whenever you hear somebody say, thus saith the Lord. Amen. You know, here's need to perk up. Amen. That's all we need to hear. You really don't need to hear another sermon from Tennessee. You don't really need to hear another song. What you really need to hear is, thus saith the Lord God. I said, we need to hear what heaven has to say about our situation. Notice Hezekiah's intercession produced heaven's intervention. Hallelujah. Oh, that God would help us pray. I said, oh, that God would help us pray until he sent deliverance.
The king's advice. Hezekiah's dependence. Oh, but it brought God's deliverance. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. God will move when he sees that one that is not fretting, but rather trusting him for his well-being. Notice what God done. Amen. First of all, God sent a promise of defense. He says, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city. Oh, hallelujah.
If God is your defense, that's all the defense you need. I understand when the devil threatens and tells lies on his people, the natural tendency of an individual is to defend himself. I want to tell you something. When God has promised to be our defense, that's all the defending we need. Oh, come on now. Amen. We'll try to straighten it all out. We'll see the fires burning, and we'll try to put every one of them out. We see what the devil's trying to do. Amen. We'll be running here and there and everywhere trying to put every fire out that he's starting. I want to tell you something. You don't have to do that. Amen. When you pray it through. Hallelujah. Amen. I realize. Amen. We want to try to handle it on our own. But friend, if you'll pray through, God will take care of it. But not only did God promise defense, but he produced deliverance. And it came to pass that night, that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. In one night, one angel killed 185,000 soldiers in the enemy's camp. Can you imagine Hezekiah that night? He goes to bed. The last thing he looks out over the wall is Jerusalem surrounded with the host of the Syrian armies. But the next morning he gets up out of bed, he looks over those same walls, and now it's not a mighty marching army, but now it's a valley full of dead corpses. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you something. God knows how to deliver his people out of the threat of the enemy. I said, God knows how to deliver us out of the hand of the enemy. One angel. I said, one angel. What does that mean for the saint of God? Where it says the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that are his. I looked that up in the Strong today, and it's a singular word with a plural tense. It wasn't just talking about one angel. Amen. But it could have been translated, the angels of the Lord encampeth around about them that are his. If one angel can take care of 185,000 of the enemy's soldiers, I wonder how many angels are around us tonight. I said, I wonder how many angels are around us tonight, and what kind of victory and what kind of deliverance could come to God's people if we just pray it through. I'm closing. You're not the first person that's ever been threatened. I said, you're not the first person that's ever felt the threat of the enemy. Do you realize they threatened Jesus? Long before Calvary ever came, they were already threatening him. In Luke chapter 13, I'm almost done. Brother Bobby, if you can go ahead and start making your way up here, I'm almost done. Amen. The same day, Luke 13:31, there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out, depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. Amen. Did you hear him? Get out of town, Jesus. Herod's fixing to kill you. That sounds like a threat, doesn't it? Sound like the enemy threatening the very Savior? And I like Jesus' reply. I realized that he was the sinless Son of God. He wasn't a smart aleck like we can be sometimes. But notice his reply. Go ye and tell that fox. Did you hear that? He said, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils. I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. And what Jesus saying? Go ahead. Go ahead, Herod. Threaten me all you want to. Amen. With death. Amen. But I'm going to keep doing what I started out to do when I came to this earth. I heal today. I do cures today and tomorrow. I cast out devils. And on the third day, he said, I shall be perfected. Hear me, my friend. Amen. I realize, amen, they were threatening him. Amen. But Jesus says, go ahead. Threaten me with three rusty nails. Threaten me with a crown of thorns. Threaten me, amen, with a cat of nine tails. Amen. Threaten me with a cross on Golgotha. Amen. go ahead and carry it out. Even threaten me with a tomb. Amen. But on the third day, I shall be perfected. Hallelujah. Threaten all you want to, devil. I shall threaten all you want to, devil. Amen. With death, but really, the fact of the matter is, amen, they did. They killed him. They crucified him on Calvary's hill. Amen. But death couldn't hold him. On the third day, he got up. Hallelujah. I said, on the third day, he got up. And now because, amen, Christ did not fret over the thread, we don't have to either. I said, we don't have to either. Let the devil talk all he wants to. It's only a thread. I don't recommend talking to the devil very often. But every once in a while, you need to tell that old fox, listen here, devil. I'm not listening to you no more. Every once in a while, you just need to tell him, listen to me, devil. I'll tell you what I want to do. You walked on me long enough. Now I'm going to walk on you. I'm tired of you, Satan. You've had me bound way too long. I'm going to raise my hands toward heaven. I'm going to sing a happy song. Stand on your feet right now. Lift your hands. That's the Holy Ghost to help us. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Have your way. Right now. Oh God. Oh God. Is there a young person here tonight feeling the threat of the enemy on your soul? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody, any young person here tonight feeling the threat of the enemy? The devil's been threatening you. It may not be fighting, it may not be failure, it may not be fire. But you feel some sort of threat in your life. The enemy's talking to you. He's on your shoulder today, telling you you're not going to make it. No use in even trying. Anybody here like that tonight? Amen. God touch you. God bless you. God bless you. How about it, Mama? Other young folks raising their hands. What about you tonight? Is there somebody in this church that you say, preacher, I have felt, amen, hell breathing down my neck this week, amen, threatening me, telling me there wasn't no use to go on any further. Bad news come, news of disease, news of sickness in the family, news of trouble in the home, some kind of situation that the devil's threatening you with right here tonight. Amen. Why don't you raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I feel the threat of the enemy against my soul. God, touch you. God, bless you. Amen. Somebody else tonight, others, raise your hand. Amen. Oh, I feel the threat of the enemy against my soul. I want to tell you something, thanks to God. I believe in this altar service tonight, we can so touch Him with our praying that He can come to us this very night. Oh, hallelujah. I said, I feel like that if we'll get a hold of Him in prayer here tonight, somebody can go home different than they came. Oh, I know we hear that all the time. I know we do. But I want to tell you something. It's a reality. I've seen it happen too many times. I've had it happen in my own life. Come in crippled up with a cast on my foot. Amen. But get a hold of God in prayer. Amen. I walk out on my own power. Amen. Not hobbling on crutches anymore. Amen. That's just a simple thing for God to do. You say, preacher, you don't know my situation. You don't know how complicated it is. You don't know how bad it is. I'll tell you this. Amen. You may not see. Amen. The crisis over right now. Amen. But like Paul's situation out in that storm, he can come and speak peace to your heart and give you the assurance that you're going to come out when it's all said and done. When the smoke settles and the dust clears, you're going to come out with victory, amen, over the enemy. Oh, hear me tonight. It can happen in the service for somebody. I said, it can happen here tonight for somebody. You can leave with victory. I said, you can leave with the victory of God in your heart. You don't have to leave worrying over the situation. You can leave knowing that God's going to work for you. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody feel like stepping out? Somebody feel like bringing it to the altar, spreading it out before the Lord right here tonight. Amen. They're going to say these altars are open for somebody that'd like to leave here with victory in their heart tonight. And I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for just a prayer that we, amen, hunker down in an altar and hide our face. I'm looking for somebody to reach up and grab a hold of victory tonight and say, I'm not leaving here the same way I came. Anybody feel like being the firstborn? Oh, hallelujah. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Go ahead.
I'm going to walk on you.
Somebody needs to tell the devil to get behind you. I'm going on the victory.
Oh, come on, thank you, God.